Hi, everybody, and welcome to FNS Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, back with another bonus episode. Going to take a look at Ring of Honor episode 505 from this week that I just finished up watching a couple hours ago. If you are new to checking out this podcast, welcome. If you're a returning listener, obviously welcome back. Normally it is myself and my teenage son talking wrestling. On Saturdays, we have our flagship show where we talk about AEW Dynamite, NXT, Impact Wrestling, some wrestling trivia, some wrestling news and rumors, an update from the world of wrestling figures, and then whatever else we feel like discussing sort of related to the wrestling world. Jack doesn't really watch ROH, so I'm going to do another solo mission. It seems like every Monday lately I've been putting out a Ring of Honor sort of discussion here. So I'm going to break down the show, sort of summarize everything really quickly, give you my thoughts and opinions on it. If you would like to send any feedback to myself or my son, that's really easy to do. It's fnswrestling@gmail.com. fns_wrestling_podcast, sorry, on Instagram. Or if you're listening to this on YouTube, just leave a comment in YouTube and I will definitely get back to you. We appreciate any sort of feedback we can get. But that being said, I think it's time that we got into this week's episode of Ring of Honor. So let's do that now. So the show begins, and the first thing we notice is that Quinn McKay is back at her desk after 2 weeks away and having lost her first match 2 weeks ago to Angelina Love, and then she was not at the desk last week. They said she was recovering from her match, so she is back now, and she sort of makes reference to the match, says that she's now back to reality, but promises that the match against Angelina Love will not be her last. She then runs down the card for tonight's show, which only has two matches. They've been doing three lately. Two is what they were doing sort of when the reboot just started, so they've been sneaking in an extra match here and there, but today we're back to two matches. In the main event, the OGK of Matt Taven and Mike Bennett will face the Foundation, Tracy Williams, and Rhett Titus for the ROH Tag Team Championships, and Quinn tells us that Taven and Bennett are ready to bring home the gold that they held 5 years ago now that they are done with Vincent and the Righteous and they can focus on sort of the tag team division. But first, we're going to get Fred Yehi facing Rocky Romero in a Pure Rules match. We then cut backstage really quickly, and Matt Taven clearly has been attacked. People are yelling for help. His tag team partner in OGK, Mike Bennett, shows up to help him and yells to get trainers. And sort of he helps Taven walk off and asks Matt Taven what happened. And you can hear Taven say that he doesn't really know, but they got his ankle. Maybe they're not done with Vincent or the Righteous, I guess, could be possible, but I guess we'll find out. It was a standard wrestling angle here. It did fine, but it kind of felt really rushed, like he was just down on the ground. Bennett shows up, picks him up right away, and away they go, sort of thing. Fine. I personally, if you listen to this show, you know I'm not a big fan of OGK. I really find it hard to care about them, especially as babyfaces. If they were to turn heel, then I think things would be different. There's nothing likable about them to me. So I struggle with them in this babyface role, but that's just me personally. So, I mean, other people may enjoy. I feel similar. I talk about it on our main show on Saturdays a lot. This is how I kind of feel about Cody Rhodes, that he's not actually a babyface and that he is a heel and we just need him to turn. And then I think everything will be fine. I feel the same way about both Bennett and Taven. They're just not likable people for me. So a heel turn would be welcome and I think they would be great. So we do get then the first match, which is Pure Rules between Fred Yehi and Rocky Romero. We're told that the winner of this will go on to face the world famous CB, formerly known as Cheeseburger, and that they don't guarantee it, but they say for what is likely to be a shot at the Pure Championship, right? So I guess in theory, this match is two steps away from competing for the Pure Championship. So as Yehi is making his entrance, a video airs. He's sort of lying on his side, pondering things. He's wearing a leather jacket and his sunglasses that are missing one lens that I don't quite understand. He asks, sort of, what is pure? Is he himself pure or is he anti-pure? Is anti-pure in itself pure? And basically that tonight, Romero will get the Savage Weight Fred Yehi. So I'm not sure what was going on here. I don't know if this is him turning heel. I don't think he's been heel before this, but I didn't care much for this. His delivery was just okay. It wasn't great. And what he was saying to me sounded like a 14-year-old person having thoughts and thinking that they're just these deep sort of thoughts that really aren't, I guess. Anyways, I was left a little bit confused by this. I don't know where they're going, and not confused in a good way, because sometimes not understanding things is fine if I'm confident it's going to be developed and turned into something interesting. I'm not sure where this is going. I was a little bit confused. I feel like it's a heel promo, but again, I can't guarantee it. So then Rocky Romero gets his turn during his entrance, and it's basically a brief music video of him rapping his entrance music, I guess. It includes, in the lyrics, talking about some of his moves. I think it's not infinite clotheslines, but whatever he calls it, his clothesline spot, goes over some of his credentials from the wrestling world. And honestly, it's not a bad rap, but unfortunately, we've got some things to compare it to in the world of wrestling, like the Acclaimed for one on AEW, and the other would be, oh my goodness, what are they called? Hot Row in NXT, which I think are amazing, like a hip-hop faction. So I think both of those do a better job than this, but that's not to say that this was bad, and what do I really know about hip-hop music? So maybe this was the best one. I don't know. You can tell me. So the match finally begins. And they start out grappling while sort of standing at this point and no real advantage. Then they end up on the mat, and this is where Yehi starts to get a bit of an advantage. He gets a hold, and then he starts to crank on Romero's neck, and the commentary team are sort of getting very animated about this. So again, I'm not sure if this is just aggressive Fred Yehi or if this is heel Fred Yehi, and the commentary team aren't doing much to help me, which I really don't mind because it bugs me when WWE go out of their way to tell us. I feel like if this were even NXT right now, they'd be saying, oh, new aggressive Yehi, this is his new style, look at his new style. So at least they're letting this breathe and letting us sort of figure it out as the viewer for ourselves, which I much prefer. The commentary team in this sort of near the beginning to middle part, I guess, they sort of drift off from calling any of the moves or the action in the ring. They're talking about, I think they start out talking about Romero's credentials, and they get into talking about some New Japan things, and I must admit that I was getting bored with the match at this point too, and them not really talking about the match at all didn't help me sort of get pulled back into it, because I'm going to sort of talk about what I found boring in a little bit here. Yehi viciously stomps Romero's hand at one point. He stops the Forever Clotheslines, that's what it's called, the Forever Clotheslines. He stops it with an uppercut, but Romero counters it with a DDT really quickly. A little bit later, there's a Koji Clutch by Fred Yehi, and I always think a Koji Clutch looks cool. Big backhand by Yehi and a fisherman suplex for a two count. We then get an arm breaker, and Yehi has to use a rope break. We get a T-bone suplex I thought was really nice by Yehi, a lot of impact off of it. He goes back to the Koji Clutch, and Romero now has to use one of his rope breaks. Remember, in the pure matches, you only get three rope breaks, and then after that, you don't earn a break, so submissions would not have to be broken, or it won't break up a pinfall attempt or anything. So we get a stiff forearm, a head kick, and the Koji Clutch applied again, and Romero finally has to tap out with about 20 seconds left in the time limit. Pure matches are a 15 minutes, and this looked like it was at about 14:38 or something around there. So this was a good match. It picked up in the second half for me. The beginning was kind of slow, in my opinion. Yehi's offense looked really crisp for the last half. Romero's a solid veteran, right? He knows what he's doing in the ring, so they put on a good match together. But I do have to say, and this is more of a criticism of myself maybe than the pure wrestling, but it's funny because when this division started, I thought it was a great idea, this pure wrestling. I thought I wanted a division that presents itself as ultra realistic, which is what pure is trying to do, right? With basically no cheating. If anyone helps you, they're fired from the company. There's sort of rope breaks and no closed fists and things like that. But now that the division has existed for a while, I have to admit, I've pretty much changed my mind. For my taste personally, too high a percentage of these matches are mat-based grappling. Like, everyone starts out with it, and that's fine in a regular wrestling match, but it's really highlighted here. And I get it. It's a really highly skilled form of wrestling. And I'm sure a lot of people love it, especially if you're an MMA fan. I'm sure what these guys are doing on the ground and their holds and counters and submissions and reversals are really impressive. But as it turns out for me, I'm not a fan of this style. To be fair, not every match in the pure division is completely like that. It usually does advance into what I would call professional wrestling. But some of these matches, it's just the mat-based stuff is too represented for me, because there's definitely more of it than there would be in an NXT match or an AEW match, because this division is focusing on that, and I get it, and they're probably doing a great job of focusing on that type of wrestling, the amateur looking style of wrestling. I just find I don't really like it. I thought it's what I wanted. It's one of those be careful what you wish for, because we have this division now that's treated completely seriously and tries to avoid cheating and like questionable finishes. And I'm just not generally enjoying the matches as much as I thought I would. So I think this division needs some sort of infusion, needs something interesting to happen. At least for me personally, the pure division is not as exciting as I thought it would be. But again, I thought I wanted it exactly this. It turns out, I guess I didn't. But anyways, back to the show. Matt Taven is having his right ankle treated by medical staff backstage after his attack, and Bennett shows up to check on him. Taven says he's not all right, but he's waited over 5 years for this opportunity. Bennett tries to assure him everything's fine and don't worry about it. We can get another title shot later. If you can't go tonight, you know, you need to take care of yourself. But Taven is going to have it taped up and he says he'll be fine and that they're going to win for sure. Bennett says that he trusts Taven. They fist bump each other and Bennett leaves. And again, I mean, I'm being kind of picky with these guys and they can try as hard as they want to make these guys a babyface. I just don't see it. There's nothing wrong with this attack angle and how it's going. I have to admit I'm biased since I can't stand these guys as baby faces. So this doesn't even help me like, oh, well, you got beaten down and you're now wrestling on a bad ankle for the titles. I don't really feel bad for them and I'm supposed to. So that's probably just more me than the writing or the performance or anything else. So I wasn't a huge fan of this. It's a very standard wrestling angle. It's fine. We then get Flip Gordon heading to the ring, and it looked like he was going for a match, so I was honestly confused. I'd started typing in my notes like, what? They said two matches. But it's not a match. He just wants, we're told by Ian Riccaboni, the commentator, that Gordon has asked for time to address his situation with Ring of Honor. He immediately calls out Roosh and says he is done waiting. He says he has Roosh right where he wants him, and now it's his turn to do what others, and that's beat Roosh. He tells Roosh to come out and starts to take off his shirt like there's going to be a match, but instead EC3's music hits and he sort of ambles to the ring in his angsty, like looking like a teenager, black hoodie with the hood pulled up and the leather jacket over top of that. He sort of walks into the ring, he's carrying a microphone, Flip's just standing still, and EC3 sort of paces behind Flip a little bit until his music stops. He takes off his hood and sort of stares at Gordon from a very close distance, finally raising the mic, and all he says is, "You've been warned," and then he walks away. So for me, I'm all for EC3 saying very little in this character. I've been pretty outspoken about, on the record, as I can't stand this character EC3's been doing, where he just says a lot of things and thinks he's being really clever, I think, but really he's not saying much and it's really boring. And I do think he's a talented guy and I do think he's a good fit for this company. Just this character doesn't work for me. So the fact that he said basically nothing here was exactly how I would like it. I don't really care about either of these guys right now, but they are capable of putting on a very good match together. So maybe they can build the story. So I'm interested. I hope they can, because I think the match will probably be pretty good. We then get Rhett Titus, Tracy Williams of the Foundation are backstage in suits with the tag belts over their shoulders. Titus says that the Foundation make their first tag title defense tonight against the OGK. Thanks for the update. We're well aware, but anyways. Lethal walks in, says that he heard that Taven has been attacked. I think he actually said that Bennett told him that he'd been attacked. They all sort of seem concerned and are sick of all these attacks. Like, this is exactly what they're trying to stop in ROH, because this isn't part of pure wrestling, right? This is like the professional carny wrestling, and that's what they're trying to get out of. So it goes right against everything they stand for in theory. Tracy Williams says that they will push the match until Taven is healthy, trying to take the high road. And listen, if he's not well, tell him to get well, and we can push the match and do it later. Lethal sort of agrees. But then he says that Bennett told Lethal that the match is still on, and it proves how much these titles mean, because Taven is not willing to sort of give up a title shot, even if he is somewhat seriously injured. And again, these attacks are exactly what they're fighting against, but they reluctantly start to get ready for the match as the segment ends. I thought this was a good little segment. It's kind of feeling to me, and I don't know anything, obviously, it feels like maybe someone in the Foundation is responsible for this attack to Taven. They seem to be sort of protesting a bit too much, it feels to me. It still could be a good story, actually. That's kind of cool that this group, the Foundation, and this division, by extension, in my opinion, could use a little bit of personality and something injected. So maybe some shenanigans in the pure division is kind of what I need to make it feel a little bit more like professional wrestling and not like I'm watching choreographed MMA, I guess I would say. So anyways, I'm interested to see where it goes. And to me at this point, it feels like maybe it's an inside job by someone in the foundation. We'll find out. We then get our main event, which is OGK, Matt Taven and Mike Bennett versus the Foundation, Tracy Williams and Rhett Titus. And man, this was a very lengthy match. So I do have a bunch of notes. No chance I'm going to go move for move in an ROH matches. I do that for you guys for NXT, but once a week is plenty for move stuff. So I've summarized it a bit, but there's still a lot here. This got a lot of TV time. So Taven and Bennett, I noticed, have separate entrances, even though they're a tag team and talking about all their history as a tag team and their previous championships as a tag team, but they come out with their own entrance music. So I thought that was kind of interesting. We start out with an arm wringer by Tracy Williams to put himself in control of Mike Bennett early. There's lots of holds and counters by these two guys to start out. Taven eventually comes in and we get a double team dropkick by the OGK to Tracy Williams. Taven's ankle gives out as he attempts a move here and he quickly tags out and Bennett sort of stops outside to check on him as we head to a commercial. We come back and Taven eventually tags back in, lands a boot with his bad foot and then a missile dropkick. So, I mean, this is super nerdy and nitpicky, but I do have a bit of an issue with this. Like, you don't know any other offense to do where you could continue to sell the ankle. You go right away to a kick with that foot and then a missile drop kick, which in theory would hurt that foot as well. I would think he would be looking for offense. And if he's this amazing wrestler, he should have a repertoire of moves that maybe don't use his own ankles. But anyways, that's just me being picky. Rhett Titus starts attacking the ankle finally, and the Foundation are starting to isolate Matt Taven, as you think they should, a logical strategy here. We get knee strikes by Taven, he makes a hot tag, maybe the first hot tag, because this match, at this point, I was expecting was maybe getting near the end, so I called it a hot tag, but there was plenty of time for another one. But anyways, I thought this was a very good hot tag by Bennett. He comes in, hits a million chops, a brainbuster to Titus, a hammerlock DDT to Williams. Then we have a spot where Bennett sort of catches Titus mid-move, struggles a little bit, but shows a lot of strength by adjusting and getting him up on his shoulders to hit a Death Valley driver for a two count. Later, we get a super kick by Taven with the bad foot for a two count. Again, sort of using that bad foot. It's kind of strange to me, but anyways. Williams tags in. He's on fire. Hits a half and half suplex from the top rope that looked cool. This other move he does, I like every time. It's like a drop down DDT onto the top turnbuckle by Williams, but then a flatliner by Matt Taven. We get an ankle lock by Bennett to Williams. So it's rounding near the end, I guess. Everybody's in the ring, a flurry of moves. It leads to Bennett having Titus in a submission while facing Williams, who has Taven in a Boston Crab, and they're kind of almost face to face. So they start slapping each other while still applying these submission holds. And then each man lets go of the submission to start fighting. Then the same combination of men, so one from each team delivering it, one from each team taking it, and it's stereo pile drivers this time. And now all four are sort of down in the ring here. Bennett and Williams are up first and they're in a strike exchange. We get a belly to belly by Titus to Mike Bennett. And then finally the finish comes when Taven misses a leaping kick off the rope, lands on his injured leg. We get two running boots to Taven in the corner by Rhett Titus. Before Rhett Titus, his finisher's a drop kick, so he drop kicks Taven in the back, who moves towards Williams, who picks him up for his pile driver. And the Foundation retained the titles off of that dropkick pile driver combination on what was a really long, but I thought a very good TV tag team match. Told a really good story. I mean, I might not love who the storytellers are, but the fact of the matter is they told a good story here. You have a babyface tag team that had been attacked before the match, and they're still trying to persevere and have that match. And the other team is eventually resorting to sort of isolating that injured person, attacking that injured body part, which makes a lot of sense. We got a good hot tag from Bennett once Taven got free. A lot of good action. No real lulls in this. It was kind of moving the whole time, I thought. I liked the pace of the match overall. I really liked it, despite not being super interested in either of the teams right now. OGK, I've already talked about. The Foundation are excellent wrestlers. There's just not a lot of personality there. It's just them doing the whole, we're serious wrestlers and we want to have real wrestling and clean wrestling and clean up professional wrestling. But good work by all four men, regardless how I feel about them. This was a good match that got a ton of time on TV. So overall, the show, I always said, was pretty good, but not a great episode. The Yehi-Romero match was fine. The second half was better than the first. the main event was really good. The Who Attacked Haven storyline is obviously going to start now. And again, I feel like it could be someone from within the Foundation, which would be a development I would actually welcome. I don't really care about the Flip Gordon EC3 encounter. It wasn't bad to see EC3, and he really didn't say much, so that was fine. I guess it could have been much worse if he had done one of his rambling promos, and he didn't, so it can't be too hard on there. So overall, I gave it a B this week, which I know seems to be one of my standard ratings, but that's kind of like an average mark, right? Like if you're going out of 10, I'd say like 7.5 out of 10. It's a watchable show. It's not going to waste your time. You're not going to be sorry you watched it, but there's also nothing I would say, hey, you have to see this. I mean, if you are a fan of tag team wrestling and you're interested in checking out ROH, or you're a lapsed ROH fan or something, I do think the main event was a good tag team match. I just, you know, nothing that blew me away on this show, but it's been a good solid product now. It's only by the time I'm skipping commercials, right? It's like 50 minutes long. So it's a really quick watch. I don't know. I'm still enjoying it. So I'm going to keep watching it and keep reviewing it for you guys. So let me know if you're watching it, what you're thinking of ROH, what you're thinking of this podcast, what you're thinking of our flagship shows on Saturday, if you listen to it, because that's going to pretty much wrap up what I have to say here about ROH this week. So as I always say, I just like to thank anybody that sort of gives us any time to listen to this stuff every week. This is just something my son and I have started as a hobby during the pandemic, and now we're just really enjoying it and we're really into it. And I look forward to our Saturday recording sessions a lot. It's just sort of a nice reward at the end of our work week. And even doing these solo missions is getting a little bit more comfortable for me. It felt really strange at first to sit down here and just talk into a microphone by yourself and try and fill, you know, I'm looking to hit 20 to 30 minutes of just sort of talking about this show. So I honestly appreciate anyone that's checking out this show and listening to us. Feedback, again, I would love to hear it. I'm not sure if there's any more bonus episodes coming this week, but I can promise you that we will be back on Saturday with the flagship show. So please, if you have a chance, come find us wherever you listen to this podcast. We'll be putting out more stuff on Saturday and beyond, and we hope to see you then. And until there, that doesn't make sense. Messed up the sign off. Until then, let's try that. Until then, take care.